Our text for this morning's lesson is found in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 will take the subject from that verse this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from the New King James Version, we read this earlier, Brother Justice did, verse 22 through verse 25 in our reading. I want to read again, beginning in verse 22 through 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 through 23. The text on the charter from the New King James Version. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. When people obey the truth, they are said to have purified or cleansed themselves. Since you have purified your souls, souls here simply refers to the persons themselves. Some versions use the word themselves. They had cleansed themselves. They had cleansed themselves of their sins. They had purified themselves of their sins when they obeyed the truth. And in connection with this, in some way, it is said that they were born again, having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Jesus taught the absolute necessity of being born again if one is going to experience the blessings of the kingdom of God. In John 3 and in verse 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The necessity of experiencing the blessings of the kingdom of God comes about by a fact of one having been born again. If one is not born again, he will not see or experience the kingdom of God. To experience or see the kingdom of God is to enjoy the blessings that come by being citizens in the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Born again simply means that. Born again, born a second time. A second time. It could be, and properly translated, born from above. Could be indicated by that particular translation. Born from above. Why? Because one is born of God. Born of God. Here in the context, evidently, Nicodemus believes it means born again, born a second time. As Nicodemus mentions, how can a man be born when he is old? He has a physical birth in mind. So, born again, born a second of time. So, it's a good rendering, born again. In verse 5, John 3, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." As one is going to enter the kingdom of God, enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God, Jesus teaches us in this text that there's a necessity to be born again. To enter the kingdom of God, of course, is to be saved in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1 and verse 13, Paul said, "He that is God has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated, conveyed, transported us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." Note this, in whom, that is, in Christ, in the Son of God's love, in whom we have redemption, liberation, and freedom from sin that he refers to in the text as the forgiveness of sins. That comes about by or through the blood of Jesus Christ, shed on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. So in Christ we have that liberation and freedom from sin, the forgiveness of sin. We have salvation in Christ Jesus. No, there's no other place where salvation is found. It's all connected with one having been born again. In Romans 6 and verse 23, Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Where? In a relationship with Christ Jesus our Lord. The necessity of being born again, becoming citizens of the kingdom of God, is indeed beneficial for man's spiritual well-being and man's spiritual salvation. To enter the kingdom is simply equal to entering eternal life with the few who are going to be saved. Matthew 7 and verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Only few are going to find life in Christ Jesus, because only a few are going to believe that He is the way unto life. As Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In him is life, and in him is no other is life. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 1, Paul said, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is where? In Christ Jesus. Thus, it's absolutely necessary to be born again. If one is going to be saved, he simply must be born again. Unless one is born again, he cannot see. The word see there means to experience. To experience, as it is indicated, as inner later on, not the same word, but to see is to experience the blessings contained in the kingdom of God, the ultimate blessing of eternal salvation. So unless one is born again, he'll not do that. I want to study this theme with you this morning. There are two requirements for birth. Two requirements. That's true of physical birth or spiritual birth. First, there must be a begetting. That is, there must be a father to beget. James 1 and verse 18. Of his own will, of God's own will, he brought us forth. He beget us. He brought us forth. He beget us. How? By the word of truth. God is the Father. He beget us. He fathered us. He sired us. By the word of truth. By the word of God. The seed which brings about this new birth then is the word of God. It comes from God. He is the Father. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. Having been born again, what? Not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. The seed of man is corruptible, but the seed of God is incorruptible. It lives and abides forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which by the gospel was preached to you. So God fathers us. How does he do that? How does he beget us? Through the word of God. That's the seed that he implants within us, within our hearts. That comes about, of course, by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. In John 6 and in verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The Spirit of God gives life. How does he give life, though? The words that I speak to you are spirit. That is, they're spiritual words. Why are they spiritual words? Because they come from the Spirit. They don't come from the flesh of man. Jesus had been speaking the Word. He had been teaching the Word, and he had been telling in John chapter 6 that they must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Of course, they thought that they must consume him like a cannibal. But Jesus wants them to partake of his teaching. He wants them to partake of his word. That is the word of God that he's been preaching and speaking to them. And thus he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. How does the Spirit give life? He gives life by the word. The word that I speak to you are spirit. That is, they're spiritual words. And they are life. That is, they bring about life. They have life contained in them. That's just how powerful the Word of God is. Romans 1 and verse 16. It is the power of God unto, in order to salvation, to those who will believe it. The Spirit, of course, brings life by or through the Word of God. The Spirit gives life through the Word. The words are spiritual because they come from the Spirit and not from the mind of man. In 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 9, Paul said, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we apostles have not received, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The things are mentioned here in this context many times. It goes back to the beginning, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. He keeps mentioning the things. That's the things that are under consideration, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. They're spiritual things brought about by the Spirit-inspired Word of God in our life and our obedience to it. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, that we might know those things which God has prepared for those who love Him, that we have been given freely to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. May I add the word words. So these things we also speak, not in words which came from the mind of man, but words which came from the mind of God by or through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So how does the Spirit give life? Gives life through the Word. How does the Father beget us? Through the Word of God, the Spirit-inspired Word of God. So this is the role of the Spirit in being born again, as mentioned in John 3 and in verse 5. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's the Spirit into consideration. The Spirit-inspired Word of God brings about a new birth. God, the Father, begets us by through the Word of God, the Spirit-inspired Word of God. That's the Spirit under consideration in John 3 and in verse 5. And of course, that brings us to the second part, or the second requirement for a birth. And that is, there must be a delivery, or there must be a bringing forth then, to have a birth. In the natural birth, one comes forth from the mother's womb. But in the new birth, one comes forth from the water of baptism. And that's the water under consideration in this text, John 3 and verse 5. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit. The water is the water of baptism. How do I know it's the water of baptism? Because from the water of baptism, one comes forth and he is born again. That's when new life began. That's when one becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. When he comes out of the watery grave of baptism. In Romans 6 and in verse 3, Paul said, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father," here's our new birth, "even so we also should walk in newness of life." New life begins when we come forth from the watery grave of baptism. Newness of life begins there. That's the point. Fathered by the Word. When one believes and responds in obedience to the Word, the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life when one submits in obedience to the watery grave of baptism. That's when new life begins. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in a relationship with Christ," how does he get there? In baptism, "he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So you're a new creature. You've been born again. You're a new creation. You've been created anew in Christ Jesus. And that creation took place in baptism. You were born again. So having followed the teaching and the leading of the Spirit of God through the Word, then you become a child of God. Romans 8 and verse 14. "For as many as are led or guided by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." How are you guided or led by the Spirit? Not through some kind of miraculous process, through some kind of whispering voice in your ear, but through the Word. That's how you're led or guided by the Spirit. When you're led or guided by the Spirit, you can become a son or child of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself also bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God." How does the Spirit bear witness? The Spirit testifies. He testifies in the Word. Tells us what we must do in order to become a child of God. When we simply do that which the Spirit testifies to, our spirit then bears witness with the Holy Spirit that we are children of God. When we simply do that which the Spirit has told us to do, thus we're led or guided by the Holy Spirit. When we follow the Spirit-inspired Word, we become children of God. But at the time that one is born again, more takes place than besides becoming a child of God. You know, one becomes a child of God at the point of baptism, created anew in Christ Jesus, born again. But other things take place as well. Not only does one just become a child of God, he becomes a child of God in the family of God with other children of God as well. 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 14. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, Paul said. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God or family of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The house of God or the church of God. So you become a member in the family of God. As a child of God, you, with other children of God, participate in the worship of the church as we're doing today. So you just weren't born again at the point of baptism, but you became a child of God and members in the family of God. Also at the time that one is born again, he gets into the kingdom. Thereby, he becomes a citizen of the kingdom of God. John 3 again, in verse 5, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot get into the kingdom of God without the Spirit-inspired Word being implanted in your heart and that Word producing new life through your belief and obedience to it. And that belief and obedience leads you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Thus you're born again. You become a citizen of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 16, in verse 18, Jesus said, I also say to you, Peter, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Many in the religious world believe the kingdom and the church are different things, but on this occasion, Jesus says they're the same thing. He mentions building the church as if the church is a building in verse 18. Then he tells Peter he's going to give him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven and the church are the same. He wasn't going to build the church and then give Peter keys to something other than that which he was going to build. He was going to give him the keys to the building that he built. So the kingdom and church are the same thing. Many in the religious world do not see them as the same. So when one is born again, he enters into the kingdom of God. But when one is born again, he enters into the church. Do we not see that? Just as we noted a few moments ago, when one enters the church, he enters into the family of God, the house of God, which is the church of the living God. In Acts 2, in verse 47, on the day of Pentecost, after those on that occasion repented of their sins and were baptized for the remission of their sins, Luke records that they were added to the church daily, those who were being saved. They were added to the church. If they were added to the church, they were added to the kingdom. They become citizens in the kingdom of God. So at the time one is born again, not only did he become a child in the family of God, but he becomes a citizen in the kingdom of God. Also at the point that one is born again, he also becomes a new creature. A new creature in Christ Jesus. We saw that earlier in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, how do you get into Christ? Galatians 3:26, for you're all sons or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I like the English Standard Version. For in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. We get into Christ Jesus by or through baptism. That's how it takes place. But when we become a new creature through being born again, we need to live like a new creature. A lot of times when people are born again, they continue to live like they did before. You can't see any kind of change in their life. But in the New Testament, when people were born again, they were taught to have a change of behavior, a change of life. And so they went about living a new life, a life that was different from their old life. Colossians 3 and in verse 1, Paul said to the Colossians, "If then you were raised with Christ," that little word "if" there doesn't carry the idea of doubt. These people had in fact been raised with Christ. Been better if they had translated, "Since then you were raised with Christ." Since you were raised with Christ. When were they raised with Christ? They were raised with Christ from the watery grave of baptism. So since they were raised with Christ from the watery grave of baptism, since they have been born again, since they've become new creatures in Christ Jesus, since they are in the family of God, since they are in the kingdom of God and citizens of that kingdom, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting. At the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died. When did you die? You died to that old man of sin in baptism. Again, Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. That's when you died. You put that old man of sin to death. You were born again. You were raised in newness of life, remember? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Here's the new life. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, which you are not. You're sons of God. You're sons of obedience. But if you engage in these things, you will be a son of disobedience. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. The implication is you should no longer walk, behave, conduct yourself in this manner. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. When did you put off that old man with his deeds? In baptism. That's when you put him off. You put that old man of sin to death. And have put on the new man. Note this, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. You're a new man in Christ Jesus. Act like it. Live like it. Behave like it. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, note that, chosen of God, holy and beloved, holy, separate from sin, consecrated and devoted to God, and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Yes, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we ought to live like new creatures. Ought to live like we've been born again. How many people want to start a new life? Be born again. Believe the Word of God and respond in obedience to it. Start a new life. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, Peter said, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." His own special people. King James Version, I believe, says a peculiar people. That is a people of His own possession. You belong to God. You're indeed a treasure to Him. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. How did He do that? With the Word of God. Called by the gospel. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Yes, as new creatures in Christ Jesus, as those who've been born again, we need to live like new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. At the time one is born again, one also gets a new name. A new name, since he's in a new family, he ought to have a new name. Acts 11 and verse 26. When he, that is Barnabas, had found him, that is Saul of Tarsus, Apostle Paul, he brought him to Antioch. Antioch of Syria. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called. Young's Little Translation says divinely called Christians in Antioch. That is, God gave them that name. They were divinely called that. Now, whether their enemies first called them that or not, I don't know. But even if their enemies called them that, God gave them that name. And it was a name that stuck with them, because God intended them to wear the name of Christ, the one who had died for them. 1 Peter 4 and in verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Or most of the newer versions, English Standard Version, New American Standard Bible, and others says, in this name. In this name. When one is born again, he also gets to be an heir. Who doesn't want to be an heir and enjoy the benefits of being an heir? Romans 8 and verse 17. And if children, that is, if children of God, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we also might be glorified together. If we suffer with Christ, we'll be glorified with Him. That's part of being an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. We'll enjoy the blessings of being an heir of God, having that eternal inheritance in heaven. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Are you a recipient of that heir? That is, are you an heir that will receive this eternal inheritance of eternal life? If you've not been born again, you're not an heir of God, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not be glorified with Him. In order to receive such blessings, you have to be born again. Remember, you have to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. So have you been born again? Have you become a new creature in Christ Jesus? Have you had your soul purified? Have you been cleansed and purified of your sins? Sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism? If you have, you've been born again. If not, you've not undergone the new birth. You're not a new creature. You're not an heir of God. You're not a member of the family of God. You're not a citizen in the kingdom of God. Become a new creature in Christ Jesus. In Christ, you're a new creature. You get into Christ by being baptized into Christ. You can get into that relationship this morning as we offer the invitation. If you believe the gospel, willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God, submit to water baptism to wash away or purify your soul. If you're willing to do that, you can get into a relationship with Christ Jesus this morning. You can be born again. If you've done that in times past, but as a child of God, as a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you haven't been living like a new creature in Christ Jesus, repent. Confess your sin to God. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.